unbelievable anticipation, Bernie Madoff shows up in court. And imagine if you were one of Madoff's victims and could actually talk to him. What would you say?
I believe Mr. Madoff should go to jail, but my real interest, I don't, you know, to be honest, I don't really care so much that he go to jail, but my real interest is that he disclose where any money is hidden.
Madoff victims want him to show them the money, and the money apparently is as much as $65 billion, way above the $50 billion that we originally learned. But Bernard Madoff will likely plead guilty tomorrow to the criminal charges that federal prosecutors had filed against him, and that guilty plea could yield a prison sentence of 150 years, which would be a life term for the 70-year-old financier and who's confessed to the biggest Ponzi scheme in world financial history. Diana Enriquez, New York Times senior financial writer, joins us in the studio down there in New York. I'm jealous. I wish I could be there with you. Diana, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John. I wish you were here, too.
Well, anyway, this is this, again, is a juicy story. It's a sad story. It's got everything. But there will be no trial of the century. That's what we learned yesterday, right?
That's true. Mr. Madoff has had very little leverage in this case from day one. I mean, when you confess to the FBI agents who arrest you, it's really a little hard to backtrack into a plea of innocence and a day in court. So Thursday, his guilty plea will be the penultimate step. I mean, this is the next to the last go-round. He will plead guilty to the 11 felony counts that the government has already produced against him. And then in a couple of months, as you know, John, there will be a sentencing hearing where he will be sentenced. And as you say, 150 years. He actually had maxed out at a life prison exposure, even with the single count that had been lodged against him before, because the crime was so big. You get extra points for how much money was involved, and it had involved so many people. You get extra points for how many people were involved. And so he was at a life prison exposure the day he walked out of his apartment in handcuffs.
Wow. Extra points, in a sense. Well, you know, we heard from the victim there at the top the issue that, you know, okay, fine, so he goes to jail. I want my money back. Clearly the priority, or clearly when Bernie Madoff did go to the FBI, he knew what he was getting into. The victims really didn't. Is there any indication from the hearing yesterday of what strategy the prosecutors might actually pursue to get money out of whatever's left of the Madoff empire?
There is. They're going very aggressively, John. They have indicated in a side letter that you can find on our website, among other places, at thenewyorktimes.com. They have indicated that they are looking for an astonishing $170 billion in forfeited assets. Now, Mr. Madoff's attorneys immediately, before they left court yesterday, had filed a letter in opposition to that number, saying that they believe that under court decisions and existing law, it wildly overstates the amount of forfeiture that the government is entitled to. But in any case, there's no evidence that there's anything like that amount of money around. But it would enable them to trace the flow of money into everything that Bernie Madoff and potentially his family ever touched or spent.
Diana, the question that is on my mind is, you know, in your story you talk about the numbers, $50 billion that was assumed to be missing and now $65 billion, that at least the amount of money that customers were told they had in accounts. But how much of that money was real? Will we ever find out? You know, people were told that a certain amount of money was in their accounts with this fraudulent interest, and then, of course, you know, the Madoffs spending money. But how much money will we ever know how much money went into the system?
We will, actually. There is a court-appointed trustee who has the bank accounts. He's got the bank records and has a staff that is reverse engineering the cash flow, if you will, through the Madoff firms, not just this phony investment fund, but the supposedly legitimate business as well. So we will know how much cash came in and from whom and where it went out. Now, we do know from yesterday's information that he was sloshing a lot of money around. He was sending, you know, $150 million, $250 million to a bank in Europe and then sending it back again to New York, all apparently to give the illusion that he was actually doing some trading when he wasn't. So the fact that they knew that that they were able to trace that little those little round trips indicates just how fine a look they've got at his bank records.
Well, you know, in your great story, in describing the technical details of this sloshing around, you kind of put that with this $170 billion revelation from the prosecutors. I mean, you know, some people are sort of doing the math. Well, where are they going to get $170 billion? It seems to me the prosecutors have basically, as a question of evidence, decided to encompass every transaction that was ever made in the Madoff scheme as a way of possibly pulling money from people who actually got their accounts redeemed. I mean, is it conceivable that the lucky people who said, I'm glad I pulled my money out, could actually get their assets subpoenaed to pay victims?
It is possible, John, although I think not to spread terror among so many already traumatized victims. Let's put that in context. The court-appointed trustee who is liquidating the Madoff estate does have the right to, as they say, claw back withdrawals that have been made over a certain period of time, looking back under federal law for 2 years, under New York state law for as much as 6 years. Whether it's two or six is very fact-intensive, but in any event, there is that window that the trustee can go back and explore, looking for withdrawals, redemptions, transfers of money out that he could then claim and return to the pot to distribute pro rata among all the victims. However, let's be realistic here. The trustee is not going to spend the legal time and trouble and expense to go after people of modest means or nonprofits who have already used the money for their worthy activities. That doesn't make any practical sense to spend a lot of money to get a little bit of money. His first targets are clearly going to be big redeemers, big withdrawals in the hundreds of millions of dollars of levels, and there are some of those. We know that from the history of the crime. We know, for example, that a large sovereign wealth fund in the Arab states had a $400 million investment at one point, and when the ceiling came crashing down, it was only about $150 million. So clearly, that money had been redeemed over time and can be clawed back.
What about the human cost? You talk about the individuals, one of them who talked about him gaming the system and someone who says he destroyed and raped so many people. People are incensed and some people have lost their entire life savings. Is there going to be a change, do you think, in how people of means choose to examine the people they invest with?
I think there already has been. I think that's one of the reasons we've seen such a remarkable little tsunami of fraud schemes that have been cracked down on by the SEC. There has been, we refer to it as the scandal du jour in the newsroom, yet another Ponzi scheme, yet another crooked investment advisor. And I think at least part of that is that the victims are saying, wait a minute, what are you doing with my money? Which is a good thing. That's a very healthy outcome for this. But I think what victims really are looking for and are going to be frustrated for a while is a chance to be heard. They've already said that under federal law, as you know, John, they have a right to be heard. The Victims' Rights Act of 2004 gives them a right to be at the plea hearing, to be at the sentencing hearing, and to be heard, although there is a loophole in that law for cases where so many people are involved that it's impractical to let them trot into court. So that's the bind. And people who've contacted me desperately want to be heard. They want to know that the judge has listened to them. And the judge said yesterday at that hearing, now isn't the time. The plea hearing tomorrow is not the opportunity that victims have perhaps been looking for, and they will be asked to look ahead to the sentencing hearing in a couple of months.
But that time will come, and in the meantime, the grim arithmetic of figuring out, as I said at the top, how many nest eggs are on toast here from this terrible scandal. We've already heard some extraordinary passionate pleas from victims. Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel, I know you were there when he sort of almost tearfully addressed a crowd of people at a forum here in New York. Diana Enriquez, New York Times senior financial writer, talking about the Madoff scandal and his day in court. A guilty plea expected today. Another day. Thank you, Diana.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.